Welcome to Home Space and Reason, a podcast about creating a home that thrives.
Hi there, I'm Christina Browning, your host. If you know your home could be so much more than it is, I discuss home functionality, aesthetics, and automation. I'm a realtor in Portland, Oregon, and a home functionality coach. I geek out on every subject imaginable regarding your home and yard, challenging you to think of your space differently to get the most out of every square foot. I pose questions for you to think through about your space and your reason. This podcast is all positive, offering you virtual fist bumps and celebrating every win. Remember, there's no such thing as perfect, but you can still aim for your best every day. Join me on the socials by searching for the handle Space and Reason. In this episode, let's discuss editing the things within your space. Brené Brown said, quote, "You deserve to be in environments that bring out the softness in you, not the survival in you." End quote. This resonated with me deeply because so many people come to me chins down, quietly revealing that they have arguments with their partner about their space, about their stuff, about the functionality of the home or lack thereof. And all I can say in response is, so do many, many others. First, I want to explain that we all come to the table with different skill sets and different parents who taught us different things about how to be, if not knowingly teaching us, then unknowingly. They taught you how to be just by the way they were in their home, the one you grew up in. Some need control of their space, and that manifests in controlling our environment as best we can. But introducing kids or a partner in the equation with different quirks, different skills, different history can throw a monkey wrench into the best laid plans. Sometimes no one has an idea at all how they got to the point of anxiety and arguments. They just know that often it manifests as heated debates about the house and its contents. You are not alone. You have come to the right place. Sometimes the tension is about how the home looks. Maybe it's picked up and clean, but it never really looks nice. I'm using air quotes there. Maybe it's clean, like swept, mopped, and dusted, but there are things laying about, and that drives one of you crazy. Maybe it's cramped. Or maybe it's empty because you just never figured out what to do with this one space. Maybe there's nothing on the walls anywhere. Maybe the kitchen is painfully small, or the kids are sharing a room and this amplifies normal frustrations. Perhaps you spend time every day looking for things, and truthfully, you're over it. I'm going to read you a quote from the book, The Minimalist Home by Joshua Becker. Over the course of an average lifetime, because of all the clutter we live in, we will spend 3,680 hours or 153 days searching for misplaced items. Phones, keys, sunglasses, and paperwork top the list. I wanted to include that excerpt, but I also wanted to add to that, sometimes when I say the word minimalist, it can be triggering for some people, thinking of a bare room with just a couple of things in it. But in this context, I would like for you to think of it differently. Minimalism to you can be different than minimalism for me or minimalism for that author. In this context, it can simply mean less than what you have now. Less chaos, less duplicates, less volume, less, period. Sometimes all the stuff, so much stuff, makes us anxious without really knowing that is the source. But if everywhere you look, there are things, projects that aren't finished, and no empty space for your mind and eyes to rest, you will act out without sometimes realizing where it's coming from. As human beings, we interact with and respond to our environments and feel the results for better or for worse. Our built environment affects us with the amount of things we have, how it looks, the amount of light we have in the space, both artificial and natural, where it comes from, high up or down low, and ultimately it affects the ease in which we can do things that we need to do, from creating a meal and cleaning up after ourselves to having a throw blanket within reach if we are chilly. The way in which our homes are set up affects our experience living in them. Every single day. I would like to step into a place today where we isolate just one part of one room and really think about what you truly love in that space versus what is just there because you should keep it, you are guilted into keeping it, or you don't even know why you have it. If you feel drained and exhausted by your space, there's a high likelihood that you could benefit from today's episode or some sessions with me. But simultaneously, it's not just about removing and editing. It's about making room for glimmers. What are glimmers? The Chalkboard Mag, this is an Instagram feed, and I will link it in the show notes, posted this recently, and I wanted to read this to you because they did an exceptional job of informing us exactly what they are in a very short and concise way. A little guide to glimmers. Glimmers are the opposite of triggers. They are tiny moments of awe. They spark joy and evoke inner calm. They have a positive effect on our mental health. They are micro moments causing tiny mood shifts. They send cues of safety to our nervous system. They bring feelings of ease and contentment. Our body responds with positive energy. They allow us to feel hope when lost. Our nervous system is strengthened by them. They can help increase our well-being. Once we start embracing them, it can become a beautiful way to see the world around you. Wasn't that nice? I thought so too. Clutter around you can cause a feeling of fight, lashing out toward a partner because of the anxiety your home is causing you, freeze where you are simply paralyzed with how to get out of the situation, what to do about it, or flight, the desire to be somewhere else, maybe anywhere else. She Talks, which is also an Instagram account that I will tag in the show notes, posted something yesterday that resonated here. It's in this same thread. It said, "Life will sometimes make you think you should be somewhere else, doing something else, traveling somewhere else. But if you think happiness is always somewhere else, it will never be where you are." End quote. This is what this episode is about, altering the spaces in your home so you can bring happiness to where you are. When we can identify the source of friction, we can move forward to making a difference in it. There is a great excerpt from a book titled When the Waves Come by Maya. It's a poetry collection with beautiful imagery and deeply healing words. One of the pages says, "If it makes you happy, soothes your soul, grows your garden, choose that." And I will add to that the idea of the opposite. If that flowery tchotchke sitting on the counter does not make you happy, it does not soothe your soul or add to your daily life in any noticeable way, let's consider that. We're going to get a box, an empty box. We're going to start putting stuff in it today. When the Waves Come is a book that guides you through a journey of love, facing your inner child, and healing through self-discovery. It's a collection of poetry, prose, quotes, and reminders to those who have felt love, peace, and wholeness, but who have also felt grief and sorrow. It's a reminder that when the waves come, you will still be here. As always, I'll link the book in the show notes. On a website of the Neurodiversity Education Academy, there is an article that I wanted to cite about spotting glimmers in our everyday lives. Glimmers give us a calm, peaceful, and joyful state. They're micro moments of goodness that help our body to restore to our thriving state of being. They reduce emotional distress and can help us be more in our learning zone. There's a lovely graphic at the bottom of this page that I'll link to in the show notes that outlines glimmers versus triggers. Glimmers bring us to an anchored state, whereas triggers bring us to a survival state. In terms of our homes, I'd like to encourage you to remove the excess from a particular area and then think of something you can enjoy doing that can be a small bit of pleasure not gained from consumerism. Get a blanket that you love and read something you enjoy. Have a hot bath, make some tea, throw the softball with your daughter in the alley. Surprise yourself by doing something you haven't done before that's healthy, positive, comforting. Now let's discuss that box. When I go through things to think through about your space and your reason, we're going to use that box. The items in it are going to sit and marinate for a week. Once you've lived with the space that has less stuff in it and it feels right, then we can comfortably think about taking the things within that box and moving it on in a sustainable way. That means listing the items on Buy Nothing for someone else to pick up for free. That's a geography-based group in Facebook that you can join. Or you could gift it to the Salvation Army or another group that can resell it. I understand this is effort, and that's why we need to pump the brakes on buying stuff. Our goal here is to make room in our lives for appreciating the simple things, all the while freeing ourselves of the weight of so much stuff. Before you hyperventilate on me, remember, We're doing this one baby step at a time. We clear one corner, one countertop, one drawer. Maybe we do this with our partner as a loving gift to ourselves and our own sanity. What I don't want to happen is at the end of the week, the box which we filled is sitting there and it gathers dust. And now you've just moved your accumulation from one room into the garage. This is not helpful. It's merely shifting the mess from one part of your home to another. I put the box in my front seat in my vehicle, forcing me to take it to the place that I need to take it, the Salvation Army, whatever, because it drives me crazy sitting in my front seat. But it's the thing that gets me to action. If I'm gifting it forward on Buy Nothing, it goes on my dining room table where I photograph it and post it immediately. This will be different for you because we're all different. What spurs you to action? What does discipline look like for you in this scenario? Do you drive by a place like the Salvation Army on a particular day of the week? And can you put that as another thing in your calendar? So when you do this, then you do that. Whatever is going to work for you. When we talk about home functionality, I refer to my chart with six rings, and everything touches everything. That is on purpose. That is why only organizing isn't the answer. Because if you have so much stuff, organizing isn't helpful if you haven't addressed editing. Also, organization isn't necessarily beautiful. I mean, it can be, but having a sense of aesthetics is another whole circle. And making your space enjoyable to be in requires looking at many of the rings. Probably our partners fixate on a different ring more than we do. Tension can come from that. Here, nobody is wrong, but you tend to notice maybe the lack of beauty in your space, whereas your partner notices the quantity of stuff that may have sentimental value to you, for example. Today, we're going to focus on just one empty box and putting something there that you don't need that makes sense. Ideally, you'll clean off one whole table or one shelf or corner and rid all the excess so that you can look at this as proof that you can do it. You can sit with it for some time, see how it makes you feel, and then you can repeat it with the next shelf, the next corner, the next spot. We are systematically avoiding the overwhelm of the huge project by breaking it down into bite-sized bits of feel-good moments where you're putting to practice what you know to be true. This space makes me feel chaotic or out of control, so we are going to step into it by removing some things, moving them out of this space, and see how that changes how we feel. There are no permanent decisions being made, nothing going into the landfill, just small baby steps toward imagining what your spaces could feel like with less. An agreement to not shop to fill that space again, and an effort to do something small to indulge yourself are going to be on today's agenda. Open the window to hear the rain. Go to the special store that has the loose tea that you haven't had in years so that you can enjoy a cup of tea every afternoon again. When I say not to buy stuff, consumable things like tea don't count here because this is something healthy that can be a glimmer for you. It can encourage a time of quiet peace and gratitude. I want you to ask your partner what their most favorite thing is in a specific room and find out why. Also, we're going to celebrate that. put that thing in a prominent position or in a spot where it can be appreciated more, used more. Maybe you can remember to use it more or elevate it in some way. Do this also for yourself. What do you love? Why do you love it? And are you using it as much as you could? Or is it in a spot where you can admire it as much as you would like? Sometimes focusing on the things you enjoy most in each room is an easier way to figure out what isn't important. What is actually just clutter? Sometimes those things are expensive. The things that are clutter, they can be expensive. Sell them. Put the money toward your child or your grandchild's college savings plan. Put it in your family vacation fund. Put it toward the glimmers. If you have a teenager, you might be able to enlist their help with selling some things on Marketplace or elsewhere. Maybe the funds can go toward summer camp or a special coaching session. Maybe it can buy concert tickets to see the band that you all love. These are things that sit well with your soul. And now for the questions to ask yourself about your home space and your reason. Today, we're going to grab a piece of paper and a pen, but also an empty box. It's helpful if you can get your partner in on this and have them do the same exercise at the same time with you. I want you to walk into a space where you have the most anxiety or the most stuff, or maybe it's the most frustrating. Or maybe you don't identify as having any of that, but it's the space that causes the most arguments, the most disagreements. Question number one, if the house was burning and I could only grab 5 things from this particular space, what 5 things would I want? Jot them down. They do not need to be the same thing that's going on your spouse's or your partner's list. This is just you. 5 things. Question number 2. What area in here makes me the most crazy? Which spot? It can't be the whole room. Just pick an area, like a micro area, to focus on. Question number 3, you do not have to write this down. This is an action. Grab 3 items that are not on your list, obviously, because your list is the most valuable things in this space. You cannot grab anything that's on your partner's list either. 3 items. These things are not important. Put them in a box. The box is going to go in the garage or in a closet somewhere out of mind. The items do not have to match. What your partner chooses and what you choose can be totally different things. That would mean there might be 6 things in this box. Live with them gone from this space and see how you feel. Let it sit. Let it marinate. Dust the space where they were. Confer with your partner about the change. Does that space feel any more freeing? If it does, I want you to do the same exercise. Maybe it's tomorrow. Listen to this episode again. When you're in the store, check yourself. Do I need this? Where will I put this? If you're replacing the things you just put in the box and moved to the garage to eventually be moved on to a new home at the end of the week, then you're shooting yourself in the foot. This is the type of work I do with couples in their home. We think about what we have, why we have it, our attachment to it, and our ability or bandwidth to display it, clean it, organize it, manage it. Go to your calendar and at the end of this week, put an appointment there to revisit this and either do this exercise again, adding more items to the box before you move the contents on to its next life, or simply handle the box, moving it on, if this was enough of a step for you. We're learning the ability to edit, which is making space for moments that enhance our lives, clearing clutter and adding space for glimmers. This is hard work. It's hard to look at ourselves and maybe come to terms with the fact that this thing that was in my parents' house for 50 years before they passed is only meaningful to me because it was in their house for 50 years. I don't particularly like how it looks. I don't use it for anything. Maybe I have it because I feel guilty, like I should keep it. Pay attention to your shoulds. Pay attention to your shame and your guilt. Sometimes it's difficult to admit that an item may never be useful. It's also easy to get caught up in an I might need this someday mentality. You can make excuses for every item that you own to the point that it is crushing your everyday experience. That is why we're doing this exercise with the empty box, putting the items in the box, distancing ourselves from the items, and then noticing how we feel is super effective. If we distance ourselves from them, sometimes we don't even notice that they're gone, but that we feel lighter in the space. And then we can give ourselves permission to do it again. And that feels good. And that's a win. That's a baby step. That's a vote for you. Let's talk about this if you have more energy. If you feel like you could go into project mode and clear everything out of that room and only put back the things that are meaningful or useful to you and box the rest. Put all of that into the garage, into the storage spot temporarily. That is the same exercise on a larger scale. I don't like to go there because not everybody can do that, and that's okay. This is part of what I do when I come into your home. We start at one particular cupboard, one particular drawer. We talk about everything in it. What's duplicate? What's useful? What's your favorite spoon? You know how sometimes you get a spoon and it just feels right? It's weighted, it's substantial, it's the one you use every single time. Okay, that's the feeling that you want with all the things that you're keeping. That delicious experience. That's my favorite spoon. I love how that feels. I've talked a bit in prior episodes about upcycling things that maybe can be used for a better purpose. That could be an option. Is there a way I could use this, make it into something different that would be highly functional, something that we need? Now, I want to ask you about your lighting in here. Is there only one central light that goes on or off? Is there a warm bulb or a cool bulb in it? Do you have any floor lamps, table lamps, sconces, or any other kind of light that's not screaming down from the ceiling? Ceiling light is the most abrasive, so that's why we're having this discussion. Ceiling lights are great for projects, not so great for reducing tension and anxiety. Also, not so great for moments of connection, unless you're doing a project with a loved one. Let's say there are bits of this that stump you, or bits that you and your partner don't agree on. Totally get it. No judgment here. Literally just connect. We can do a 30-minute session on FaceTime or Zoom, and then I'll let you guys get after it, and we can do the other half of the hour on the back end and see where we landed. The sessions with me do not have to be huge, long, involved, or expensive. My goal is to get you in a space where you're enjoying the functionality of your home and everything that it can be. That is going to be different for everyone. Now, I have come across people who are actually addicted to shopping. So I wanted to mention in this episode, what are the symptoms of compulsive shopping? A constant preoccupation with it, buying things you don't need, experiencing financial problems due to shopping habits, lying about shopping habits, stealing to continue to shop, shopping despite fears, guilt, or the desire to change, and shopping to feel normal or regulated. There is a hotline that you can use. It is 1-800-662-4357. I will put that in the show notes as well. Do you have friends who argue about the house? Dishes always in the sink or an explosion of laundry? Let them know about this episode. Some people don't completely understand what a home functionality coach looks like. Like what happens exactly? Well, I meet with you either in person or virtually, and I ask a lot of questions. And there's no judgment on my part. We figure out if this is a good fit. If you're comfortable and if I'm comfortable and feel like I can help, we move forward. I take notes and go through my chart of all the ways we can think about a particular room. I work one room at a time, and this happens over time. We're not rushed, but instead we're making slow, calculated tweaks. Oftentimes I use an app called Marco Polo for checking back through video. That way you can get to it when it's convenient. And you can also show me things when you're out and about in the world, like, hey, I was dropping off my daughter for this play date and the house I'm at has this dual purpose coffee table that I was thinking might work in our house. What do you think? And that way I can see it. If you feel like you might want to explore coaching, connect. There's always a link in the show notes. If you like this kind of content, you can subscribe to Little Bits, my weekly newsletter about home functionality that has a video and a thought about the spaces that we reside in. Expect short but close inspections of home details. As usual, I'll post questions for you to think through about your space and your reason. Find the link in the show notes. I am a realtor in the greater metro Portland, Oregon area, and one thing that I am thankful for is the ability to meet new people and talk with them about what they want in their next home and why they want it. I also get to stage the home they're listing with me so people understand how the space can be used, which gets my client top dollar for their investment. If you happen to know someone in the market to buy or sell a house in the greater metro Portland, Oregon area, kindly send them my way. The finest compliment I could receive is the confidence of your referral. If you haven't listened to episode 5 yet, it has a fond place in my heart because it's all about tackling the space that doesn't get used in our home. I pose questions to really think through each of your spaces and evaluate if they are being used to the best and highest potential. If you haven't listened yet to that episode, or if it's been a while, check back in on episode 5. Sometimes our lives shift and we are experiencing a different season with kids that have left the house, or maybe you had a baby or twins. Maybe you have parents living with you now. This is a great time to reevaluate your space with episode 5. I'll put a link in the show notes. I'll tell you what, with as much as I wish that reviews didn't matter, they absolutely do, because I look at them when I'm deciding who to hire, what podcasts to listen to. I think they are the most reliable source of whether I should spend my time in that way or not. Would you kindly leave a review for me by simply scrolling down to the bottom in the show notes, clicking on the link, and letting people know this is a podcast worth listening to. Hey, thanks so much for listening in on this conversation about creating a home that thrives. I'll meet you back here for the next episode.